I'm Hugh Atchison, and this is not really The Passenger, because we don't travel right now. At least, if you do travel, you're one of the silly people in the world. It's a Wednesday. Woke up pretty early. Got the news that a close chef friend of mine had passed away from COVID-19. That chef is Floyd Cardoz, and Floyd was the seminally important chef of back in the day of Tabla in New York, and I worked with him on Top Chef Masters, and Floyd was just an amazingly gifted cook and chef, but more so, he was just a loving man. So, hats off to Floyd, and may he rest in peace. But that's a sad one and a hard one to take. We're in a really weird time. That's not just in my industry. We're all in a really weird time. I look at my industry as hospitality and restaurants as being the sort of the first ravaged front line from this pandemic. And what's uplifting is how people are responding and helping and trying to make sure the restaurant industry and hospitality survives. Because at the end of the day, that's what great restaurants have, is hospitality and the want to serve and their communities and help out in any which way they can. And I think that more importantly than ever is it's time to do that. And it's time to help out. Doing a lot of strange things in my abode right now these days. I'm busy writing a lot of contracts because I put out on social media on Instagram that I'd be happy to, for people to pay in advance for caterings. Pay now and I'll cater it later once the dust settles. I didn't expect much of an outpouring. 60 catering contracts later that I've been working on, it shows that the backbone of my community of Atlanta and Athens, Georgia, believes in me and wants me and my crew to survive. Listen to a lot of music these days. If you guys really want a good 3-album set, it's hard to find on Spotify and stuff, but you can find it on some music streaming services. But RZA, RZA from Wu-Tang Clan, put together a Shaolin Soul compilation a couple years ago. It came out in like 2003, so a number of years ago, but it's phenomenally good. What else have I been doing? Watching Schitt's Creek, which is the most uplifting, wonderful show of all time to me, and makes me think of my good Canadian roots. Doing a lot of doodles and trying to manage the distant accounting of restaurants that are dark. Empire State South in Atlanta is still doing to-go food and trying to service the community as best they can. But, you know, we've really thought about safety and how we're delivering that to the public, and we're not delivering. We have a small window that we open, your food goes out, you're 6 feet away, the window closes, you approach, pick up your food. All the payments are done over the phone, so there's no cross-contamination. I have the same crew who's been diligently working nonstop since we started just doing that. And so shout out to Lane and Anna running the front of the house, and Sam Herndon in the back, and Corey DiPaolo, who's the executive chef at Empire, doing great work, to Kelly Thorne and Stephen Grubbs, and a lot of names that some people in the area know and some people don't know, to Choppy, my man. These are good people. Gonna call in and get my good friend Chris Wilkins on the phone, because Chris is the person I talk to when I want to giggle and laugh, when I want to talk about the funny perspective of the end times. But Chris Wilkins is Root Baking in Atlanta, which is in Ponce City Market, which is all shut down. But within that space, he also runs an amazing little place called Pizza Jeans, which makes amazing pizza. But Chris is a 6'2" redheaded Italian guy from upstate New York who's wonderfully intelligent and layered, and a James Beard nominated best baker in America. More than that, Chris Wilkinson, my friend. So let's get him on the phone. Chris, I'm just going to go straight to the chase. What the fuck is going on in the world right now?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I guess we know exactly what's going on, and also we don't, because I think like, I don't know about you, but it feels funereal. We deliver bread all over the city. We used to anyway, and I still see these people. And the only way I can describe how my interactions with them are now is like, it is like someone or something died. You know,
people don't actually go to a funeral though, because there's a county in Georgia that's got the largest outbreak right now, Gowardy County, and that's because everybody went to two funerals.
Is that right?
Got COVID-19.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It just strikes this thing is terrible in so much as I think it just strikes at, you know, the heart of our industry, which is gathering and getting people together. This thing is just, I don't know, tailor-made to implode the thing that we are, like every instinct I have, right? Every instinct you have, every instinct any chef or hospitality person has is to bring people together and feed them, right? And this thing says no. This thing says no, you can't do this. And it is, yeah, it's terrible. I mean, we, you know, like everybody else, I think, in Atlanta and New York and everywhere else, we had to let go of most of our staff last week and you know, it was terrible, right? But then we tried to be honest with them, try to tell them what we could do, what we could not do. And then we just kind of opened the bar for them. And so we just kind of sat Shiva for the food service, you know, and it's like people were laughing, people were crying, people were sad, people were elated, people were just to see each other, of course, not for the news. But like it was. I don't know. The best thing I think we can do is kind of allow that grieving process to happen. And then,
but we can't. We need to be a quarantine grieving process.
Well, I know. No, you're right. And then once that quarantine grieving process is going to take a while too.
So you shut down when?
Tuesday of last week.
I shut down on Monday of last week. Laid off 120 people. And we shut down 5 and 10 pretty much completely in Athens, but Empire State South is still doing to-go food, which has been a response to the industry across the board. But it's not a very... It's not economically viable for the long term. So,
no, I agree.
You know, how are we, without government bailout, what's the end result that's going to happen to this industry that employs 15 million people and is worth almost $1 trillion?
So, well, I don't know, of course, but I have my suspicions. And I think that, first of all, I think we can and should mourn what restaurant life and culture was for a long time until like a week ago. Right. And now I think our industry is just going to change. Like if you play out like what this thing looks like, you know, let's say this is all over in 2 months, it's not going to take, it's like restaurants aren't going to be back to it in a week. Right. I mean, it's going to take people a long time to get comfortable going out and seeing each other again in large groups. So what restaurant do you know? You know, everybody, like what restaurant do you know that can have the resources just open back up again, full bar, perishable inventory, you know, all that kind of stuff that costs thousands and thousands of dollars, and also be that busy day one?
Yeah, it's not that we don't have the wherewithal, the bandwidth to get it operational quickly. It's, again, I think it's really what you're saying is about public perception, and then,
right,
you know, how comfortable do people feel getting in a room with 60 people? And that may, right, take years to reset properly. So are we going to have to revert to, you know, clean kitchens, a lot of to-go food, delivery service? But a lot of that, too, I mean, people are still doing that. And I am kind of sounding a bit of an alarmist, but I worry that so many hands touching food when you order through one of the meal services,
right,
that you don't know where it's coming from.
That's right. That's right.
And that's terrifying. Yeah. I mean, the Empire State South, you know, I've got five people working there, all salaried people, and but it's the same people every day. And they made a pact with themselves that they would just go home after the shift, get rest, wake up the next day, get a cup of coffee at their house, and come to work.
That's
so
right.
They're not socially engaged anywhere. They're not mingling with people. We're not bringing in another crew where I don't exactly know where they've been for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like, yeah, the length of this, I'm guessing, is going to be July 1st, where we're back to any sort of normalcy.
You're probably right. And you know, and even normalcy, I think, is what's changed, is what I'm arguing here.
Yeah.
I don't think the normalcy that we knew 3 weeks ago is going to be the thing that we can experience when this is over, just because I think that it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she says, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to go to the grocery store again. I just get it delivered now. This is great. And I think that's, you know, I think she was kidding, but there is a real sense of, like, this is kind of the way we've been going for the past 20 years or whatever it's going to be, right? Of, like, we've kind of been going in this direction that encourages a certain amount of separation while maintaining connection, like we are right now. You know, I can see you.
Yeah, but I'm not wearing pants.
I know. Well, you rarely are, to be fair.
Well,
We need to talk about that eventually. But I think that, like, you know, we've kind of been going in this direction. I'm not sure that, like, yeah, I don't think the normalcy is going to return the way we want it to. But, you know, we will get back to normal eventually, and people will come back. I think we're going to lose a lot of restaurants, though. And that's something to probably think about, is, like, we're going to, I mean, our neighborhoods. Is
and where did all those people go? I mean, we've talked about this before, but, you know, it's imperative now that we have a massive public works program that builds something, that does something, that changes this country for the good forever, and puts people to work who were previously in a now virtually half dead industry. I mean, right now restaurants are dead. I mean, they're dark, and we've got millions and millions of people going in unemployment rolls. Yet still, we have to have this debate on whether cruise ships are going to get as big a buyout and a bailout as we in the hospitality industry that are worth, like, 100 times more than what the cruise ship industry is worth.
That's right.
But I am flying a Liberian flag right now as well, because that's who really speaks for me, because they let me get away with a lot.
think about it this way, right? Think about it this way. So, okay. I've been arguing for this for, like, you know, listen, I've got certain political predispositions, and they are to be like, we have all these kids around here, right? We have all these 20 to 30 year old kids who work in restaurants. That's basically the population of, like, your restaurant workers. And it's just like, we have all these kids around. Some of them got a fancy college education. Some of them got no education. Some of them just work really hard. You know what I mean? They're just people, and so, like, we got a lot of potholes to fix. We got things to do in this country. We could put them to work feeding people and doing stuff if we had the wherewithal to do such a thing, like the appetite for a big public program like that. And I would be the first person to celebrate that, right? And it's like, that's all I want to see, is I want to see us helping our communities. And
are you talking about a strategic hospitality reserve?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
I like this idea.
I am. We get uniforms. We get uniforms, right? We get uniforms, and it's incredible. I'm actually not really kidding. I mean, like, if you think about it, like, during
jumpsuits. I mean, jumpsuits.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get the big brands behind it, right? We get Carhartt and Dickies and all those guys to get behind this. But I'm saying, like, but think about this, right? You think about, like, the Norman Mailers and Kurt Vonnegut generation, right? These guys were artists and intellectuals and creatives just like us, right? We're not intellectuals, but we're definitely, you know, in a creative space. And, like, they went to work
Renaissance dumbasses.
Renaissance, absolutely correct. You know what? Finally, we have a name. We have a team name.
Nailed it.
You know what I mean? And so, like, but you took these guys who had, like, these men and women who have creative skills. Like, maybe they can't lay a brick to save their life, but they do have skills, and they were deployed. Those skills were deployed to help their community, their country, their whatever you want to call it. Like, that's big thinking to me, right? Like, so we're using these
they
kids
built the Hoover
who know how
Dam.
To, yeah,
I mean,
man.
They did but, these, amazing
but not only did they build the Hoover Dam, they wrote the songs that make that, like Woody, think of like Woody Guthrie, right? Writing songs about migrant fruit pickers and like all these folks who are doing their work in that they love to do anyway, but they're putting it towards this, like, greater community service. That's wonderful to me, right? And so if you take these kids who cook food, why aren't they cooking food for their neighbors who should be getting this food? Maybe private restaurants, I don't know, maybe we're all dead in the water, maybe that's true, but like, gosh, I would hate to see the day where cooking for your neighbor goes away and it's everything's just dropped on your doorstep by a person you do not know and will never know.
I think in parallel to that is a lot of us in what I do in food, which is more fine dining. You're in baking and have the pizzeria make fantastic bread. Chris is a James Beard nominated baker.
Gosh, thanks.
I know, it's awesome. But, you know, in fine dining, it's so hinged to service. But, you know, there were cracks in that model 5 years ago that a lot of us chose to ignore. And this is maybe giving us an opportunity to reset. But the reset could be going, you know, the common want may be way beyond, like, maybe getting rid of service completely. And so if everything's delivered to our door and, you know, and things are like the, you know, salad chain restaurants of the world where people just breeze by and pick that, and that, and then walk out the door. I feel like I'll have lost my will to live.
Yeah, but do you think it has to go that far? I mean, I wonder if that's like where you have to go. If you either have fine dining or Sweetgreens, I see them. There's always an in between, right? Like the neighborhood. Like this bar down the street that I love to go to has servers, right? It's just a neighborhood bar. It's like Cheers in there, right? But that's like one of my favorite restaurants in the entire city of Atlanta, and they function like a restaurant. They run like a restaurant bar situation, and that's when the lights come back on in our industry, I will walk in there happily and comfortably, because I know that they take it seriously. Even though it's not a fine dining establishment, I still think there is a world in which, like, restaurants are not dead. Of course they're not dead. Fine dining, yeah, you're probably right. Fine dining, you're probably right in that, like, you know, there's probably some flaw to that economically and, you know, with the labor we have available to us. But, like, I asked my question to you is this, right? So this is terrible. No one's denying this is terrible. We are not by far, we should remember, we're not the only industry this is terrible for. There's a lot of people in this country and in the world who are right now in a bad place, just like us, even though they don't make food for a living, right? Like, not even food adjacent people, but if you make cars right now, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I think it is wreaking havoc everywhere, and which is just crazy to fathom. The weird part about the hospitality industry is I really felt like this time we were the fodder. Like, we were the first line to just get mowed down by this. And we didn't get up. And I don't think we're getting up for a long time. And there's still people making really idiotic moves on not understanding how to really tamp down that curve and the importance of social isolation and not transferring germs. It seems to be hell-bent on this new line from the White House of, you know, the cure can't be worse than the virus, which is a weird, like, thing saying, don't wreck my economy, bailing out a bunch of poor people who are sick, or, you know, go ahead and let 3% of the population die. I mean, I don't think Trump knows how to spell Thomas Malthus, but
I don't think he's doing well, if that's what you're at. But I think that, like, that's clear that we don't have a way forward, because, like, it doesn't feel like we have a clear direction on this. And that's part of the anxiety, right? And to me, anxiety always happens when it's like, I don't know what I'm worried about. It's just sort of like, I'm not a therapist, obviously, or I didn't even take Psych 101, but it always seems to me like anxiety comes from this, like, just worry about nothing in particular, but about everything in general. And so, like, I think part of kind of spinning our wheels about, like, are restaurants over? Is life over? Is partly an anxiousness that comes from not having a timeline of what this thing is, because there's no beginning, middle, or end. There just is where we are, right? Which is like a long, dull, you know, a long, dull, stressful,
self-isolating stretch.
Yeah, stretch, right? And then, like, you know, but it will probably come to a more agreeable point at some point here in the near or distant future. And then the question is, like, what are we going to do with all these people? They're still going to be here. Like, what are we going to do with all these people who have skills, right? The all these people who have skills, what are we going to do with them to put them back to work so they can pay their rent, so they can pay their mortgage, so they can feed their children, so they can do what they do what people want to do, which is just live a life. What are we going to do with them? And that is, like, so that mourning period that we've experienced and are experiencing now will pass eventually. And then the question has to be, what is next? Like, what can we do? How can we be creative in helping those around us and in our industry and outside of our industry, while also observing safety, right? Safety precautions.
I'm Hugh Atchison. You're listening to The Passenger from iHeartRadio. We'll be back after this quick break. I'm Hugh Atchison. This is The Passenger. So what are you doing? Like, when you go home these days, what do? You're a married man. You're sitting at home.
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
Yeah.
Are you playing Scrabble a lot?
I mean, yeah, not really, man. Because, like, my wife still works. Like, she's got a life. Someone's got to pay the bills here, because it's not me anymore. And so, like, she still works, and, like, we're still delivering stuff. We're still making bread for people because we see it as a grocery item. So we're still trying to make bread for the grocery stores. And so, like, what do we do now is, like, you know, you read, you watch a movie together, you know, stuff like that. And what are you doing?
It depends on whether I'm here or at my girlfriend's place in Atlanta. I mean, if I'm here, I generally, like yesterday at 6 p.m., I decided after a glass of wine that I would pitch the idea about selling future catering services, but you pay me now. And so
it's like a micro loan.
Yeah, it's kind of like pay it forward. And
yeah,
and then I wrote the most basic contract, and then orders started piling in. So
in
18 hours, we sold $53,000 worth of future catering, which is a great injection of cash to pay some of my core people. And it's an awesome, a beautiful example of how people do care about us in
people
this industry.
Really, no, and that's help. And that's where, and we should talk about that, right? So, like, people do care about us, but I do think we have to find ways to make this sustainable if we're in this for a while, right? It's like, there's going to be at some point, you know, the donation, like, because of where we are as an industry, like, and because communities love us so much, not just us, like, obviously they love us being, like, whatever their local place is, baker, chef, you know, bar, whatever it's going to be, they're going to give that initial infusion of, you know, $50 to, like, gosh, that's what I would have spent there, you know, last week or this week, whatever it's going to be. But, you know, eventually that's going to dry up because other industries are hurting too. And so, like, we have to find some way to make this sustainable. And if that's just, like, I don't know what the answer to that is. I've been racking my brain. What I've been spending my days doing is, like, trying to think of a way to, like, be, yeah, to first of all, try and take care of the people in our industry who are now have, like, you know, financial and food insecurity, but also, like, how do we feed them sustainably? How do we feed them safely? How do we do anything for anyone 6 months from now if our restaurants are still closed?
Yeah, but even in the quick next 2 weeks,
yep.
What are we doing to have a viable way of getting even small amounts of money into these people's pockets so they can get
right.
by?
That's right.
you know, what people need to be doing is really talking to their city councils about, you know, no eviction notices. You cannot evict anybody in the next 4 months, you know, at all. You cannot do it. That unemployment benefits, you know, need to be expedited. SBA loan application. I don't know if you've done yours, but I've done
the emergency one, the other.
Yeah, the SBA disaster loan website, which has just been a nightmare to get on. You know, all those things need to be expedited, made more efficient to have us have any sort of chance of getting by. But, you know, the next, you know, if this goes on till, I mean, I really think July 1st is our warm up period of getting back to normal. And that's, you know, that's April, May, June. I mean, that's 3.5 months away. We've only been in this for like 6 fucking days.
I know.
And we're going to be going batshit crazy by then.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though?
And that, Macrame, dude.
Is that what you're doing?
No, but it's an idea.
People buy any shit on Etsy. Hold on. Hold on. If you decide that macrame is your life and that you need to do this for yourself, I need you to call me as a friend and say, hey, I'm thinking about macrame. Because then I will know that you've gone around the bend.
Is that the safe word for having an intervention with macrame. You?
Macrame? Yeah. Macrame. Because I'm going to call all of our friends and say, guys, he wants to sell macrame on Etsy.
I know. I got to do something, though. I mean, I can't sell advanced catering for the rest of my life. Sometimes somebody's going to want me to actually come cook the food.
That's the downside to all these like kind of microloan things that happen now with restaurants. It's like, eventually we're going to do these and we're going to be like, oh, wait, I have all these guests in my restaurant and I need to do this catering order because that person lent me essentially, you know, $4,000.
And you know, 500 amazing people bought gift certificates to your restaurant to use the day you reopened. But I spent that money 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For the public's idea, I mean, essentially a gift certificate is a great, amazing loan to a restaurant. Because it really doesn't have any interest rate. We're borrowing it. And often it's got a bigger return because you lose them.
That's right.
So that's the economy. That's why Starbucks is 100% into you buying a lot of those cards.
Is Starbucks doing that right now? Is that what they're trying to do?
But yeah, I'm sure they're doing that now.
Before you decided to do macrame, just call. You know what I mean?
I will call.
We'll have a talk. We'll do Scrabble. We'll do a crossword, you know, digitally or something. We'll figure out something like that.
We play chess online against each other.
Love chess. You know, I got my butt kicked by this Russian kid like last week at like 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. He beat me in like 4 moves and I've never felt stupider in my life.
Chris, I think the bottom line is that we're going to come back from this. We're going to be stronger than ever. It's just going to take a while. People out there, support your independent restaurants, your independent bakeries, your independent food people. They need you now more than ever. But they need your voice, too. They need to get out there and call your congresspeople and your senators and make sure they do the right thing when bailout money starts to come, that we don't just bail out the airlines. Seem to be needing bailing out a lot, those airlines.
Airlines, cruise ships. You wonder how places... boggles the mind to think about how much money they make and how many times we need to bail them out of making not as much money as they used to make. It is fascinating.
I think we're all on the cruise ship now.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
I've been on a cruise, yes, a number of times. Guest chefing. I've been on a cruise to Antarctica, but then Steve and Matt Parmalee and I went on a cruise in Europe that was amazing. But this was pre-COVID-19 and
I got to tell you something. I never trusted cruises. Pre-COVID-19, post-plague, pre-plague, I don't trust cruises. Do you think there were cruises in the bubonic plague times? Probably. In fact, did you know that's where quarantine comes from? It's an Italian word, yeah. For 40 days. That's how long the Italians used to make you wait in your boat before they let you in the country during the plague.
Take that, America.
Boom.
Take that little piece of knowledge.
How about that?
Put You're that welcome. In your pipe and smoke it.
Don't smoke. Don't smoke.
No, don't smoke. It's bad.
Because of upper respiratory infections and COVID-19 affects your lungs. So just don't
also, smoke. The first sign I'm reading now is that people lose a sense of smell.
I saw it on NPR.
That's creepy.
I know.
So I'm going to fart a lot to know I'm still alive.
To know you're still alive?
Yeah.
Smart.
When you can't smell them, canary in the coal mine, you know what I mean? Chris Wilkins, get back to baking that fine-ass bread. You're a good man. And thanks. We will get through this.
All right, buddy. Thanks for talking.
These are some really screwed up times. We're going to come out of it okay, but we're losing friends and family and people we adore, and that's really hard to take. But I'm hoping the dire predictions of people who I respect, like Tom Colicchio saying 75% of restaurants probably won't come back. I'm hoping that's wrong. I'm ready for a reset of an industry that was untenable in a lot of ways. But I don't want that reset to cause a lot of anguish and a lot of unemployment. In this country right now, we need a massive public works program. We need to build dreams. We need to build Hoover dams. We need to build the future. And we need to move a lot of people into roles that they didn't necessarily see coming, but that they get value from and they get work from and they provide. Because right now we need all to be providers, but we need to also just be good humans. We need to care. Check on your neighbor safely. Check on people you don't know safely. Make sure everyone's okay. And that's not just from my community in the hospitality industry. That's just called being a human. How about you be a human? Not a human. That's me. You've been listening to The Passenger. This is a production of iHeartRadio, created by Hugh Acheson and Christopher Hasiotis. We're produced and edited by Mike Johns. Our researcher is Jesslyn Shields, and Christopher Hasiotis is our executive producer. Special thanks to Gabrielle Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the crew. If you like The Passenger, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find the show. If you're a local and you want to let me know what I missed and where I should go on my next visit, or if you've recently been a passenger like me and want to share your experience, hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at Hugh Acheson. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, use the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.